celebrate a big birthday party tomorrow. Can I borrow that book of yours?
No.
Oh, go on, be a support. You lent it to every other boy in the school.
Yes, and they all paid for them to look.
I ain't got no money to... I tell you what, though. I'll give you my spaceman's badge, my champion marble, and one bit of used bubble gum.
Oh, all right. Here he is, James Core.
Smashing. Core. Now my party will be a big success. Let's have a look. Susan Brown, Rosemary Smith, Madge Turnbull, Jay Robinson, Wendy Harvey.
That was an excerpt from Every Boy's Book of Birds. Another of the books we recommend you to read, especially during the next half hour.
Meanwhile, for those who can't read, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are Cowgill Trench, film starred Sophia Crockett, the Maudlin Goddard Shovehappy team, Mr. J. Nolan Frange and friends, Miss Kiki Bonbon.
I bet she's a cracker.
To continue, Bertie King, Siegfried von Hausenblatt, Meridew Lumley, and of course Mr. Kenneth Hall, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Hall.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Beyond Our Ken, the show where you start laughing at the very first joke and don't stop until the second. Well, now, as usual, I've had a hectic week. On Monday, the Air Ministry told me they were having a big RAF march past, and they asked me to lead the parade. Apparently, the goat was sick. However, I couldn't go because I'd already arranged a visit to Hull. It was the BBC's idea, actually. They said to me, Horn, why don't you go to Hull? And so I did. I visited one factory up there, and I had a special escort of two motorcycles all the way through the town. Created quite an impression, but, oh, you know, one feels a bit embarrassed running along between two motorcycles. On Wednesday, I eventually decided to sack my secretary. For a long time, I'd noticed that she was going home earlier and earlier, so finally, just had to say to her, look, don't you know when it's time to stop? And she said,
of course, when we hear someone coming.
So you see, she had to go, and on Thursday, my wife insisted on choosing my new secretary. Very nice chap, too, he was. Nevertheless, on Friday, well, it was quite a day. Prudence had gone to the pictures, and when I went to make the tea, I discovered there was no water. So naturally, I sent for the plumber. Now, you must be the plumber.
I have that honor, yes. The name's Arthur Pigley, and this is my son, Edward.
Oh, yes. Well, come in, won't you?
Thank you. Our card.
Now, what's this? Arthur Pigley and Son, builders, decorators, plumbers, electrical engineers, and flower arrangements. Flower arrangements?
That is correct. Edward here is known as the Constant Spry of Ladbroke Grove. That's so, Edward.
Yes, that's right. So I won first prize for my floral clock.
Well, I thought he looked a bit seedy.
Oh, but you should see him in July. He's a proper picture. I believe you wanted to see us, though. A special package.
Yes. I'm afraid I've got no water.
Oh, well, we'll have something neat.
No. Now, you look, you don't understand. I mean, there's no water coming through the tap.
Oh, well, I better have a look at him. Let's just turn the tap on and make sure.
Well, there you are. Just a couple of drips.
Now, thank you, not to be personal. Now then, I'll just get these floorboards up and check on the main water supply.
What are you doing, Figley? The main water pipes aren't under the floorboards?
Now he tells me. Hello, what's this? Mr. Owen, you come here a minute.
Yes, what's the trouble?
Just put your finger down here.
You mean here?
Oh! As I thought, the short circuit. Edward, just unravel these wires. Why, and I go upstairs.
Okay, Dad.
I'll come with you.
Good. Nice place you've got here. Lovely pictures on the wall. And, oh, I must just stop and admire this.
Figley, you're looking in the mirror.
I know. Oh, handsome devil and I.
Come on, Figley, now. Here's the trap door to the loft.
Right. Give us a leg up.
Oh, are you all right?
Well, it's a trifle dark.
You'll find the tank up there somewhere.
Don't worry, sir. I found it. Here. Hello. There's someone in here with me. And there was a full dead and a long arm.
Bingley, that's a ball cock.
So it is. It appears to be James. Hold on. That's fixed it. Now, Mr. Owen, turn your bath tap on.
All right. Pigley, what are you doing in the bath?
I didn't have the tank fast enough. Anyway, figure by two.
Oh, come on, get out of there. Now, here's a towel. I'm going down to see what your son's up to.
Well, there you are, sir. He's all back to normal.
Right, well, I'll try the cold water tap. What on earth have you done?
I don't know, Mr. Bourne. But if I was you, I wouldn't turn the radio on or you'll flood the place.
Bigley, here.
No, it was up now.
Well, it's positively disgraceful. Just listen to this. I'll turn the tap on.
Well, I suppose some people like it.
Yes, but... So we come to the end of today's Over 60 Club. Now it's time for Songs for Swinging Plumbers. And here is your resident vocalist.
Good afternoon.
Good heavens, it's Pat Lancaster. Ah, well, I suppose it's quite a nice idea to have Pat Lancaster on tap.
Make me laugh, make me grin, make me keep the mood that I'm in. Make me laugh, have a try. Make me laugh so hard that I cry. Make me glow, make me smile. Make me feel that life is worthwhile. I could never stand peace and quiet. Put that laughter back in my diet. And honey, don't be an angry young man. I want to be happy as long as I can. So don't go taking the mickey.
What am I going to do?
There's only one thing you can do, sir. You better get a license for that tank. Good afternoon.
Oh, dear. I suppose I'd have to get onto the waterworks. Oh, they've arrived, too. Prudence, whatever's the matter?
Oh, sir. It was a film, sir. It was lovely.
Yes. I'm glad you enjoyed it. There, Prudence. Come now and sit down. Tell me all about it, if you think it'll help.
Oh, well, sir, it was called A Woman in Curlers.
got your ankle ready?
Yes.
Good. Well, you see, there was this woman, and she was losing her husband's affection because she'd been letting herself go. Every morning it was the same. He'd come to have the breakfast.
Where's my breakfast? Where is it in the coal cellar? What's this? Underdone bacon, burnt toast, broken egg, and a cup of hot water. Things are looking up.
Oh, thank you, Cheddar. I made a special effort this morning.
Why?
Don't you remember? It's our anniversary.
Oh, is it? Honestly, Frieda, look at this place. Call it home. Dirty crocks on the piano, weeks washing on the picture rails. Your bicycle in the armchair. And look at that old junk heap in the corner.
Hey, that's no way to think of our lodger.
Oh, sorry, Perth.
Oh, woman, Ted.
Oh, Mr. Pilkington, you've grown a beard.
No, I haven't. It's your cat. Call him up, will you? I've stuffed him in my pipe twice.
Here's another thing. A perishing cat of yours, crappy old thing.
But it's not, because black cats are lucky.
Yes, but he was white when we bought him. I tell you, Reed, I can't live in this hovel much longer. Look at you. Woman I've married. Flopping around in that filthy old dressing gown with your hair in curlers, still wearing last week's makeup.
Okay, thank you.
What are you thanking me for?
Well, Mr. Pilkington, a woman likes to be noticed.
Well, I'm off. Goodbye, all.
Here, Kate.
What is it?
Well, you know that Mr. Argley's next door. He always kisses his wife goodbye every morning. Oh, I wish you would.
Don't be dark. I hardly know the woman. By the way, I shan't be home tonight. Working late.
What again? Every night for the past 6 months you've been out at night. Working late, you say. But let me tell you, Ted Ogmore, a woman has an intuition about these things. It's getting more difficult to believe that you're really working late.
What makes you say that?
You're unemployed.
Oh. Is that all? One horrible moment I thought you'd found out about Phyllis. Or Bile.
Oh, alas, my husband and another woman. What shall I do, Mr. Pilkington?
Well, I shall find out who the other woman is and go and speak to her.
No, I know what I'll do. I've made up my mind. I'm going straight down to the Citizen's Vice Bureau.
So if you take my advice, you'll find a good man, marry him, and settle down.
Gee, that's swell. Thanks a lot.
Not at all. It's been a pleasure. Next, please.
Morning. My name's Mrs. Ogmore.
Yes, well, you could change it by default, couldn't you? And is that what you've come to see me about?
Oh, no. It's about my husband.
Now, just a minute. Before we begin, tell me, do you always wear a dressing gown?
Yes. Well, if it's good enough for Noel Coward, it's good enough for me.
Well, now, what is your problem?
You see, my husband, he doesn't find me glamorous anymore. And he's gone off with another woman. What can I do?
Well, now, simple. You must make yourself attractive again. I tell you what, go to a beauty parlor, have a thorough beauty treatment, get your hair done in a new style, have a manicure, a new cord for your dressing gown. Yes, make yourself a wonderful, glamorous person, like a film star. And when your husband comes home tonight, think of the surprise he'll...
Freed, I'm out! Freed! Where are you? Here, who are you?
It's me, Ted.
Freed. What have you done to yourself?
It's for you, Ted. I wanted to make myself look like a film star.
Yes, but you're Brunner.
So you see,
It didn't work.
Well, then there's only one other thing you can do. Make him jealous. Let him see you with another man.
But I don't know any other man except the milk... That's it. The milkman.
Good idea. Good idea. Leave him a note.
Oh, I hope it works.
Morning. Here's a milkman. I got your note. Yeah, now don't muck about. What do you want to see me for?
Well, milkman, I want you to make love to me.
Ooh. You've been having too much yogurt lately.
Now listen. Listen. My husband will be home at any minute. Put your arms down there.
Well, I'm it. Sorry, I forgot to put the bottles down.
There, that's better, that's better. Now, when he comes in, I want you to kiss me.
Down halfway through my milk round.
Oh, no, please, please. I want to make my husband jealous.
Well, what about my oars?
No, you wouldn't be jealous of him. Quick, quick, here he comes. Act passionate.
Freedom, oh!
Oh, my darling. Even though I'm only an half-pint, my love for you is great, eh? Oh, let me hold you to my jersey and run my fingers through your gold top. You're the cream in my coffee.
Hello, hello, hello.
Huh?
Hello, milkman. You're very cooperative this morning. Now then, put my wife down and get up.
All right. I'm going.
Yes, go. Never leave milk on my doorstep again.
I lose more customers this way.
Ted, Ted, I do believe you're jealous.
Of course I'm jealous. I'm afraid I've been a fool. I was weak, but I realise now a man shouldn't stop loving his wife just because she likes to live in filthy, dirty squalor.
Oh, Ted, that's the nicest thing you ever said to me.
Freed, Freed, things are going to be different from now on. We're going to get away from this place. I've got a job.
You haven't?
Yeah. It's a job for both of us. It'll be a whole new life we're going to live in as caretakers.
Oh, Ted, where?
The Institute of Hygiene.
And now it's time once again to meet our vocal and instrumental group whose latest record has just gone straight to the top of the Brixton rubbish dump. This week they've been out hunting for songs and eventually they ran to earth one called To Kenge on Field. So yoik, tally-ho, it's the Fraser Hayes Hall.
With his coat so gay, sing you can John Peel at the break of day. Sing you can John Peel when he's far, far away, with his hounds and his horn in the morning. The sound of his horn brought me from my bed, the cry of his hounds with the ups and bled. Peel to halloo would awaken the dead, or a fox from his lair in the morning.
We shall never. his horn.
That old fox is really gone.
For the sound of his horn brought me to my bed. The cry of his hound ripped me off and wet. For a peal-peal halloo would awaken the dead. For a fox from his lair in the morning.
Kenneth Horne documentary feature, Hornorama. Yes, once again, Kenneth Horne and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. And tonight, we present a close-up on communication.
Are we getting the message? Well, first, let's have a brief look at the history of communication. The first important method of communication over long distances was the runner, who sometimes had to travel many hundreds of miles to deliver his message.
My lord, I bring a message from the great Atticus, 300 leagues have I run, over the Iconicus, down the plains of Olympus, through the snowy wastes of Sabina, and across the arid deserts of the Xerxes, and swim the boiling waters of the Hellespont.
And what message do you bring from my lord Atticus?
He wants to know if you can spare half a cup of sugar.
Father, communications were improved considerably with the introduction of postal services. At first, the mail was sent by stagecoach. And tonight, we have with us one of the original coachmen, Mr. Arthur Tantip.
Good evening.
Now, would you, sir, like to tell us about your life on the mail coach?
Yes. It was a hard and dangerous life. Carrying all those valuables on the London to York Road. I remember the last time I done that run. We was held up by highwaymen.
Oh, well, when was that?
Yesterday.
Thank you, Mr. Santivy. We'll have a whip round later. Yes, the postal service has gradually expanded, and today it's a vast and complicated organization. The stagecoach has, of course, been replaced by the express train. Over now to Chiddingfold Station for a report from Cecil Snape.
Well, I'm standing now at the far end of this platform at Chiddingfold Station. The express is due at any moment, so let me tell you exactly how the mail is collected. I am standing by a long steel arm on which is hung a large mail bag. And as the train goes through the station at something like 60 miles an hour, a steel-framed net swings from the train, scoops up the mail bag, and drops it into the sorting office aboard the train. Well, I think I can hear the express coming now. Yes, it's a fascinating operation for those who haven't seen it, and it won't be long now before I can describe the from a pigeonhole on the Flying Scot, returning to the studio.
Poor old Cecil, he's been posted. Well now, of all the modern methods of communication, the one most widely used is radio. What a thrilling moment, that very first discovery of the wireless.
Anger.
Yes.
You really shouldn't work so hard.
Oh,
no. You'll kill yourself at the rate you're going. Look at you, all worn and haggard.
You can talk. Anyway, it's worthy. This will be the greatest invention of them all. I shall call it the wireless.
But, Andrew, dear, you've been working like this for years now.
I must go on. Yes. Don't you understand? I feel I'm nearly there. If only I could just discover the secret of the thermionic valve.
Andrew, darling, you must relax for a little while. Why don't you sit down with me and watch the television?
Yes, radio plays many parts in this modern age. For instance, in the fight against crime, high-powered police cars patrol our roads, controlled from headquarters by the latest electronic equipment.
Calling car 32, calling car 32.
Come in, car 32. Your time is up.
Well, not only on the ground, but also in the air, radio serves mankind. Consider now the vital contact between pilot and airfield control.
Hello, Arthur Rodney. Arthur Rodney, are you receiving me? Over.
Hello, Peter Charles. I'm receiving you loud and clear. Over.
Hello, Rodney. Now listen carefully. My undercarriage is jammed, my petrol gauge is resting zero, and my joystick is terribly wobbly. Over.
Hello, Charles. You are in a pickle, aren't you?
Over. Yes, I am. Can you help me?
Yes, of course, that's what we're here for. You'll have to give me your position. I repeat, Steve Charlie, what is your position? Charles, can you hear me? Charles, where are you?
I'm in the hangar.
Finally, let's turn to a more domestic form of communication, the telephone. Just recently in Great Britain, the post office has instructed its telephone operators to show politeness, courtesy, and above all, friendliness to subscribers.
I'd like to tell you your number.
Thank you. Perkins, United Casting. Perkins here.
Perkins, this is J.G. You stupid, blundering, blaring idiot. Where are my lift flanges?
They're not ready. We didn't promise delivery until the 25th.
I don't want to hear your asinine excuses, you fat fool.
No, gentlemen. That's no way to talk to each other.
The devil's there!
Uh-huh.
I want my lipped flanges.
All this fuss over some silly little lipped flanges. Come, come, gentlemen. I'm sure Mr. Perkins is doing his best.
Good, I am.
Thank you, Jake. I'm sure that you down. You're very a gentle soul, aren't you?
Well, yeah, I suppose I am.
Well, then, apologize.
All right. Sorry, Perkins.
Sorry, Jake.
Yes. Perkins, look, how about us getting together for a drink?
Good idea. My taste of drink.
Well, there you are, Lieutenant Kennethorne. Say goodbye for now. I'm leaving you with this thought, which again comes from Melissa. Does a stocking manufacturer see the steamy side of life? Good night. You might have been listening to, or have just missed, Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show which gave employment to Kenneth Horn and also to Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, Patricia Lancaster, the Blazer Hayes Four, and the BBC Variety Orchestra conducted by Paul Fennelly. Scripts, believe it or not, was written, and letters of complaint should be sent to Eric Merriman and Barry Cook. However, the onus must inevitably fall on our producer, Jake Strauss.